From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, starting from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, we will play Indonesian songs. Well, listener, I will begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz, 4750 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news for the headlines. Indonesian badminton team has a chance in the Thomas Cup. BNI introduced MSME's products through overseas branches. Now the news in details. Indonesia has not won the Thomas Cup for quite a while. However, Indonesia has the opportunity to reclaim the title for the men's team in badminton. The Indonesian men's badminton team is part of a Group A along with Malaysia, the Netherlands, and England. The head of the Organization for the Management of the Indonesian Badminton Association, PBSI, for the Special Region of Yogyakarta, Toto Wardianto, told RRI on Friday, August 14, that even though Malaysia, which is the toughest opponent in Group A, is now being cared for by one of the Indonesian badminton legends, Hendrawan, from the strength of the Thomas Putra Indonesia team, is believed to be able to win the competition and qualify for the next round. Yes, Hendrawan, I know him well, but each coach has his own tricks to do it. The characters of the Malaysian and Indonesian games are different, but I still hold Indonesia with Malaysia. The Thomas and Uber Cup will be held 3 to 11 of October in Aarhus, Denmark. Indonesia is the country with the most titles winners, namely 13 times the Thomas Cup championship. But since 18 years ago, the Indonesian team had not brought home yet the championship trophy, which came from the name of the former president of the International Badminton Federation, IBF, Sir George Allen Thomas. State Bank of Indonesia or Bank Negara Indonesia BNI introduced the products of Indonesian micro, small and medium enterprises MSMEs to the international market through overseas branch offices spread across a number of countries. The majority of the products on display are handicrafts. This was said by BNI's Corporate Secretary May Liana in Jakarta on Saturday, August 15. BNI optimizes the presence of branches in Singapore, Hong Kong, Tokyo, Seoul, London and New York. The handicrafts product displays an environmentally friendly product such as woven bamboo, household utensils made of coconut stems, leather products, and Indonesian literature in the form of weaving and batik. These products will then be exhibited at banking halls overseas branches to attract BNI customers abroad. In addition to the tangible form of hashtag BUMN Kerja Dari Hati, this promotion is one of BNI's efforts to drive the economy through MSMEs as the driving force for the nation's economy. State-owned Enterprises Minister Erick Thohir has encouraged digitalization of the logistics supply chain to support the nation's economic recovery. Thohir remarked during a virtual discussion on health and economic recovery in Jakarta on Saturday, August 15, that the digitalization program will open up access to new potential markets to support the country's economic growth. Two Asian countries, China and India, have remarkable potential to observe Indonesian productions. The digitalization program will, beyond a doubt, support the maritime economy. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has signed a new defense agreement with Poland that will see American troops redeployed there from Germany. The deal will see the number of U.S. troops in Poland rise to about 5,500. Polish Defense Minister Mariusz Błaszczak said the number could quickly be increased to 20,000 if a threat justified it. U.S. President Donald Trump has previously accused Germany of not contributing enough to NATO, but the U.S. move has raised concern among NATO allies worried over possible Russian expansionism. The Enhanced Defense Cooperation Agreement EDCA was signed by Pompeo and Blackjack in Warsaw on Saturday. South Africa's president has said coronavirus infection appears to have peaked in the country as he announced a sweeping relaxation of lockdown measures. President Cyril Ramaphosa said nearly all restrictions on the country's economy will be eased from Monday. A controversial ban on the sale of alcohol and tobacco will be lifted. Domestic travels, small family gatherings, and the reopening of businesses will all be allowed. In a TV address on Saturday, Ramaphosa said the easing of restriction will help to revive the country's flagging economy after a period of great hardship for the country. However, he called on South Africans not to let their guard down against COVID-19 despite signs of hope, warning of difficult times ahead. Iran on Saturday held a UN Security Council vote rejecting a US bid to extend an arms embargo on the Islamic Republic, saying its foe has never been so isolated. President Hassan Rouhani said the United States had failed to kill off what he called the half-life 2015 deal with major powers that gave Iran relief from sanctions in exchange for curbs on its nuclear program. Only two of the Council's 15 members voted in favor of the U.S. resolution seeking to extend the embargo, highlighting the divisions between Washington and its European allies since President Donald Trump withdrew from the Iran nuclear accord in May 2018. Washington's European allies all abstained, and Iran mocked the Trump administration for only winning the support of one other country, the Dominican Republic. India is ready to mass-produce COVID-19 vaccine when scientists give the go-ahead. This was stated by Prime Minister Narendra Modi in his Independence Day speech on Saturday, also launching a national project to roll out health identities for each citizen. In annual celebration held at the 17th century Red Fort and scaled down due to the pandemic, Modi identified health and economic self-reliance as the key priorities for his government. Launching a national digital health mission for the countries of 1.3 billion, Modi said in his 7th Independence Day speech that records of every health test, disease, medication, and other details will be kept under a health ID. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
The commemoration of the 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence 2020
is theme Indonesia Maju or Onwards Indonesia. Representing the Pancasila, our state and nation life guidance, which was perfected by logo that says, "Proud of Indonesian products," as efforts to nurture people's love for national products.
Marimba, itulah Marimba, Marimba kita. Hari Merdeka, usaha bangsa. Hari lahir bangsa Indonesia. Merdeka, Marimba kita tetap merdeka. Semua hari bangsa kita juga. Tetap setia, tetap setia.
The anniversary logo looks like the shield of Garuda Pancasila with onwards in the nature beneath it, symbolizing economic equality and growth for Indonesian people and also the real progress of the effort to present the best for people of Indonesia.
Happy 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with this week's spotlight is on President expect COVID-19 vaccine clinical trials to be completed in 6 months. President Joko Widodo witnessed the implementation of COVID-19 clinical trial third phase at the Faculty of Medicine Pajajaran University Bandung West Java on Tuesday, August 11th. Around 1,600 volunteers took part in this clinical trial. The COVID-19 vaccine tested was the result of development carried out by the Indonesian state-owned pharmaceutical company Bio Farma with a company from China, Sinovac. After the research phase in China, the vaccine was then brought to Indonesia last month for clinical trials in Bandung. On the same day, the president also inspected vaccine production at the Bio Farma Laboratory, Bandung West Java Province. He expressed hope that this clinical trial will be completed in 6 months. If it can be produced in January, the vaccine can be immediately distributed to all people in Indonesia. The president said Bio Farma this August could produce approximately 100 million vaccine. But later on, by the end of 2020, or in December, it will be increased to 250 million vaccine. Furthermore, the president said Indonesia had for 3 months developed its own vaccine for COVID-19 isolates circulating in Indonesia. He expected the vaccine called the red and white vaccine will also be completed soon. This vaccine was developed by the Eijkman Institute, the Agency for the Assessment and Application of Technology, the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, the Drug and Food Supervisory Agency, and the Ministry of Research and Technology, as well as several universities. The president added that the Indonesian government is also open to collaborating, for example, with Sinovac in China, G42 in the United Arab Emirates, and South Korea. According to the president, by opening up, Indonesia could quickly vaccinate all the people. Listener, that was the Speak Spotlights. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
I am Valery Kalitnik, Ambassador of the Republic of Belarus to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 75th Independence Day to the people of Indonesia. May the relationship between Belarus and Indonesia get stronger and provide benefits to the people of the two countries. Cyber harap Indonesia damai sejahtera dan pembangunan sukses. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Today in history. I'll start with 16th of August 1945, the Rengas Dengklok incident. Some Indonesian youth figures kidnapped Soekarno and Muhammad Hatta to be taken to Rengas Dengklok, Karawang, West Java on August 16, 1945. The kidnapping was aimed at urging both independence movement leaders to immediately proclaim Indonesia's independence. The incident was later remembered as the Rengas Dengklok incident. The next day, on August 17, 1945, the Indonesian independence was proclaimed in Jakarta. turning to the event in 1960, Independence of Cyprus. On August 16, 1960, Cyprus declared its independence from England, which had ruled it since 1878. This independence was achieved by Cyprus after the Zurich and London Agreement was signed by the British, Turkish, Greek, and Cypriot governments in London, England in 1959, which established the constitution for Cyprus. I'll end with August 16, 1976, the earthquake that caused the tsunami in the Philippines. In the early hours of 16th of August 1976, the small island of Mindanao, Philippines, was hit by an earthquake measuring 7.9 on the Richter scale. The earthquake caused a massive tsunami that hit more than 433 miles from the shore. The residents did not realize the danger and did not have time to escape to the higher places. Thousands of victims were sucked into the sea. In all, 5,000 people died, 2,200 were reported missing, 9,500 were injured, and more than 90,000 people were left homeless. Cities and provinces across the North Philippine Sea region were devastated by the tsunami, waves reaching 15 meters, which is considered one of the worst disasters the country has ever experienced. And listener, that was today in history.
The 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence with the team Indonesia Onward. Happy 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Javier Archelos in Spain. He was listening to our broadcast in Spanish. Hello, Mr. Javier Archelos. Thank you for your reception report in details. Your email has been forwarded to Spanish section, so please be patient to wait for the reply. Thank you. As appreciation, we'll play a beautiful song for you. Here is the song.
apa cinta ini sungguh berarti tanpa lara terjaga.
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today, entitling Indonesia's preparation for the 2032 Olympics. Competition to host the 2032 Olympics became tighter after Qatar volunteered to host it. Qatar confirmed to take part in a bid to host the biggest four-year multi-event after officially submitting it to the International Olympic Committee's IOC on Monday earlier this week. Responding to Qatar's nomination, the chairman of the Indonesian Olympic Committee, KOI, Raja Sabta Oktohari, asked Indonesia to immediately prepare itself seriously in bidding to host the 2032 Olympics. As quoted from Detik Sport, the government's serious support, according to Raja Sabta Oktohari, is necessary to smooth out the bid to host the Olympics. Apart from the central government support, KOI has also collaborated with the provincial government of DKI Jakarta for the upcoming 2032 Olympics. Raja Sabta Oktohari said that a meeting had been held with stakeholders in Jakarta, especially related to improving facilities in order to optimize the benefits of the venue, as well as efforts to maximize its standards. In addition, related to the plan to move the capital to East Kalimantan, in addition to urban development infrastructure, the government has also designed the construction of international standard sports facilities. According to Dr. Hari, with an increase in the quality of the venue, the match facilities will be suitable for use in international competitions and at the same time can improve Indonesia's image and become a training center for national, regional, and even international athletes. Meanwhile, the Deputy Governor of DKI Jakarta, Riza Patria, understood the concept of the promotional materials that KOI wanted. He also at the same time committed to solving asset problems at the X venue of the 2018 Asian Games. In running for the Olympics, Indonesia must be serious and compact in all lines and sectors, especially in facing challenges in the midst of the COVID-19 outbreak. The first task was the cancellation of the visit of the Indonesian president and the chairman of KOI to the IOC headquarters in Lausanne, Switzerland, last April due to the corona pandemic. For this reason, Raja Sabta Oktohari said, "It is necessary for all people to have the same perceptions that Indonesia is capable of becoming the first Southeast Asian country to hold the Olympics." He also said that the successful holding of the 2018 Asian Games and Asian Paragames is proof that Indonesia is capable of being a good host. "This will change the face and image of the Indonesian nations in the world sports arena. Apart from Indonesia and Qatar, there are four other countries that have nominated themselves to host the 2032 Olympics, namely Australia, India, United Korea, China, and Germany." Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we'll read an email from our listener, Kunihiro Yamazaki in Japan. He told that he was listening a program in Indonesian language on August 11, 2020 through 1242 kHz of RRI Bogor with the SINPO 55455. Hello Mr. Kunihiro Yamazaki, thank you for your email. Unfortunately, it is not VOI's broadcasting. Our broadcast, Voice of Indonesia, also present a program in Indonesian language, which can be monitored through 3325 kHz or website voinews.id. Thank you. As appreciation, we will play a beautiful song for you. Here is the song.
Yeah.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
RRI was office Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian wonder. This time, I will invite you to Bengkulu to enjoy pendap, a traditional cuisine from the province. Pendap is one of special culinary delights in Bengkulu province. Pendap is also called pais or pepes. People in Bengkulu said pendap has its roots since their ancestors. Pendap even became the theme of one of the songs released in Bengkulu Regional Song Album in the 1990s. This song tells about how to cook pendap Bengkulu and how Bengkulu people in ancient times enjoyed it. Pendap is also the favorite food of Indonesia's first president Sukarno while undergoing exile in Bengkulu City from 1938 to 1942. Pendap Bengkulu is made of fish mixed with various spices such as garlic, shallot, galangal, ground chilies, coriander, pepper, salt, and other herbs. This spice is mashed and mixed evenly with grated young coconut. Next, put a piece of fish that has been fermented together with the spices and wrapped in a few taro leaves. The fish used are snapper or other sea fish. After wrapping it in taro leaves, then wrap it again in banana leaves to keep the taste. Then it is tied with pandan leaves to enrich the aroma. Bengkulu people usually cook this pendap by boiling it, but there are also some who cook it by steaming. What is clear is that the cooking must be 8 hours for the best result, or a minimum of 4 hours. Because if it is less than 4 hours, apart from not having good taste, it will be easily go bad or taste sour, and the taro leaves will also make itchy on the tongue. The process of cooking this pendap is done on a large stove and still uses firewood so that it tastes the same as the legacy of their ancestors. This is what makes the spices soak into the fish and also into the taro leaves that wrap this fish, which is also edible. Pendap with prices starting from 10,000 rupiah to 15,000 rupiah will be very delicious when served with hot rice. Apart from being a must-taste dish for tourists who come to Bengkulu, this culinary delight can also be taken home as a present because it can last for several days. That was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring pendap from Bengkulu. Tomorrow we will meet again at the next edition of Indonesian Wonder with other interesting topics. See you next time.
Hello, Indonesia. This is Cameron McKay, the Ambassador of Canada to Indonesia. I would like to wish you a happy 75th anniversary of your Independence Day. My team and I are working hard to make the relationship between Canada and Indonesia even stronger for the benefit of all our people. Dirgahayu, Republik Indonesia.
Now we'll reply an email from our listener Rakesh in India. He is one of our regular listeners. Hello, Mr. Rakesh. Thank you for your email on our broadcast. We hope that you are monitoring VOI's broadcast now. Special for you, we'll play another beautiful song. Here is the song.
Listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Miss Eleni. This edition is about limited screening of 6 Indonesian films at the website of the Locarno Film Festival, Switzerland.
Thank you.
Six films by Indonesian filmmakers were shown on a limited basis at the open-door screening section of the Locarno Film Festival, Switzerland. This event is an international film festival and has been held annually in August in the city of Locarno, Switzerland since 1946. The main feature of the festival is an open-air viewing area on the Piazza Grande with room for more than 8,000 viewers, making it one of the largest open-air movie theaters in the world, or around 26 times 14 meters. This festival is a prestigious forum for local and international film activists so that their films can be appreciated in the festival. In this year's Open Doors segment, 30 films from Indonesia, Myanmar, the Philippines, Malaysia, and Mongolia were screened and could be watched free of charge. This also opens up opportunities for viewers who have missed screenings in theaters or previous film shows. This year's Locarno Film Festival will take place from August 5 to 15, 2020. Films from Asian countries are screened exclusively online until August 15th on the Locarno Film Festival website. Quoted from the official website, each screening will be complemented by talks between the director and open doors programmers. Indonesian films that aired include Atam Buah 39 Degrees Celsius by Riri Riza, Kucumbu Tubuh Indahku by Garin Nugroho, and What They Don't Talk About When They Talk About Love by director Mouly Surya. Meanwhile, short films from Indonesia which are limited to airing at this festival include Kado by Aditya Ahmad, Nothing's Crazy in the City by Regas Banuteja, and On Friday Noon by Luki Herwanayogi. Among the Indonesian films screened at the Locarno Festival, there were those that had been screened at other international film festivals before. For example, the short film Kado by Aditya Ahmad, produced by Miles Films, tells the story of a person who is preparing a gift for a friend. The short film received international attention when it was screened at the Sundance and Venice Film Festival. Meanwhile, the film Atam Buah 39 Degrees Celsius, which was released in 2012, tells the life of someone in Atam Buah and was shown at the Rotterdam Film Festival. Even though the COVID-19 pandemic is still ongoing, the situation does not interfere with the organizers from presenting quality films at this festival. That was Miscellany for today. We'll meet again tomorrow with other interesting information. Bye-bye.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we will present you a hit song by Kahitna. Kahitna is a music group from Bandung, which was formed on June 24, 1986. Currently, the group, which is led by Yovi Widianto, consists of three vocalists, namely Carlo Sabah, Hedi Yunus, and Mario Ginanjar. One distinctive feature of Kahitna is the arrangement of the music, which is a blend of jazz, pop, fusion, Latin, and ethnic. They often carry the theme of love with romantic lyrics, including the song Cerita Cinta. It tells about the beginning of the love journey from they met until decided to establish love. Well, listener, here is Cerita Cinta by Kahitna. Happy listening!
Berawal dari mata.
It is time for me to sign off now. Keep listening to our program at www.voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions and 4750 kHz for European regions. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Also, send your reception report to VOI at voinews.id. I'm Putri Safitri Adala. See you on the next English program.